welcome back, or welcome to the show. It is 8:08 here on a Friday morning. Yeah, good news after a not very good performance by the Sens last night. We got a weekend ahead of us. Sens don't play again actually until it's another late night game from a Western time zone, of which, and I think again, the Sens are one. They've one win west of the Eastern time zone this year, and I think they've been outscored. I did the math last. I think it's 48-17 or something. Yeah. Last night, pile another seven against and 3-4. It was not very good night. Dylan Dubé leads the way for the Flames. Matt Murray driven from the net after allowing four goals in the first period. It was, I hesitate to say it, it was shades of early season Sens the last time they went out west. You hope this time it is short-term and not as bad as the hockey was throughout the last Western trip.
Well, and JR, hey, there's nights maybe your team doesn't have it. Let's also remember how the week went for Matt Murray. First of all, outstanding Monday. He was given off Tuesday, didn't even go to Montreal. Gustafson ended up backing up. So the one guy that I needed to be fresh last night was the goaltender, and that was not the case either.
Nope. Three goals on the first five shots, four in the first period. He got pulled. Decord came in. Sens didn't have it. As DJ Smith said after the game, we are skating uphill the entire night. All right, to talk about it. But that being said, for the second time this year, the Ottawa Senators got the opposing coach fired after the game. Jeff Ward was fired. Daryl Sutter has been hired. They did the same. Montreal did the same thing after they played the Sens with Claude Julien. So there's that, I guess, for the Sens. That's really not nothing to something to hang your hat on, though. Without further ado, let's get to the phone lines and welcome Pierre McGuire, as we do each and every weekday morning at this time. A presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
I'm well, JR. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Pierre.
All right, Pierre, before we get to the hockey stuff, the big hockey, the sad hockey news of the day is about the passing of Walter Gretzky, who died last night at the age of 82. Boy, you talk about, we're calling him Canada's hockey dad, the personification of a hockey dad here in this country. Did you ever happen to cross paths with Walter at any point over your travels?
Yeah, many, many times. Sometimes at golf tournaments, sometimes at hockey rinks, a lot of times at Olympics. So, yeah, no, a lot of times see Walter in a lot of different places. He was fun. He had huge passion, gigantic passion for the sport, obviously. But he loved being at the rink. I mean, that was the one thing I think if you could ask him or would have asked him, he would tell you, I think he probably enjoyed being at the rink as much as being anywhere. He just loved being at the rink.
Now, always had the twinkle in his eye. Eh? He always looked like he was kind of kidding with everything that he said. But yeah, the ultimate hockey dad.
He was funny. He had a dry sense of humor. He was very, very funny.
For sure. All right. Let's talk. Well, let's start with the news from after last night that Jeff Ward was let go by the Flames, and they're going back into the old way of doing things with Daryl Sutter, who led them to the Cup back in 2004, the Cup final, that is, and of course went on to win two Cups with the Los Angeles Kings. If you think about the Daryl Sutter, and you know him very well, this Calgary Flames roster, is he the right coach for that team?
I don't know how much fun the guys are going to have. This is going to be interesting. Giordano knows him really well. He'd be the one guy in that group that would know him very well and wouldn't have an issue with it. Some of the other guys are going to have to change their work habits. Now, last night, they just ran into an Ottawa team that had nothing. I watched like you guys watched, and then I had to focus in on other games that were pretty serious, like Columbus and Dallas and Florida and Nashville, but and even Tampa Bay and Chicago in overtime. But I would just tell you this. Those guys in Calgary better bring their work boots. They better be ready because it is tough. It's grinding, and it's a job. And if you don't perform, you're not going to have your job. That's just how he runs business. He's a very good friend, somebody that I respect a lot. But it's no nonsense. And if you don't bring it every day with him, it can be a very difficult situation.
Pierre, it would be a Pierre from the outside, though. The obvious targets would be Monahan and Goudreau, that he's going to come in and, I'm assume, coach hard or coach up, whatever you want to say, but challenge. And if it's not going to work, this is probably the fork in the road where Calgary's going to be forced to make some changes.
Well, we talked about this yesterday. It's, you know, I asked JR, when's the last time they won? You know, the last time they won is when he was a coach, really, when you look at it. They haven't been particularly good for a long period of time. They've got some serious soul searching to do at some point. And, you know, you can go and Google all the newspaper articles you want. You know, when they hired Bill Peters, the one headline was Bill Peters and Brad Trey Living attached at the hip for better or worse, meaning it better work this time. Well, it didn't work with Bill Peters. It didn't work with Jeff Ward. I think Brad Tree Living in the last 5 years has had four coaches. At some point, they're gonna look at the record and say, wait a second, what's going on with the management?
Yeah, absolutely. He inherited Bob Hartley, fired him, hired Glenn Gulletson, fired him, hired Bill Peters. Now, Bill Peters left and had to leave, and we all know the circumstances around that. Hired Jeff Ward interim, then hired him, like, full-time, like, did a coaching search and ended up sticking with Jeff Ward and now has fired him. Like, that is a longer-than-usual number of coaches that, general managers usually don't get on to four coaches, do they?
No. Yeah. No. Not unless you're Glenn Sather and you're an icon in the game and, you know, you've got a fiefdom in Edmonton or you got a fiefdom in New York. That's probably the only guy that could probably get away with that.
Is this Brad Tree Living, the GM in Calgary, is this like this? I know this is my last kick at it, so I am going to bring in, I guess, I don't want to say that Daryl Sutter's a sure thing, but I'm going to shake the tree like we've never shaken it before, and it's either going to work and I'm going to be able to keep my job, or it's going to blow up in our faces and I'm going to get fired anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to speculate, JR, but I would tell you this, is that yesterday you asked me the question and I told you the team's not good enough. And do you see what they thought today or last night? They fired the coach right after a pretty substantial win, even though it was against a team that had nothing going in Ottawa. I don't know what Brad was thinking, but they better get going there. I can't imagine it's long-term for him if they don't get going.
In the case of Daryl, you look at L.A. and you say, hey, come in, opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. Not that it was a finished product, but are you surprised for a guy that's been a manager, that's coached as long as he is, that he's up for the challenge? Or is this, hey, you know what, it's local, still got Calgary Flames in my blood?
No, he's a worker. He just likes working hockey. Yeah. He's a hockey addict, and I just think that he's somebody that loves being at the rink. I talked with Brent last week, actually, his brother. They love the entire family. They're just hockey people, and they just like being at the rink.
All right, as mentioned, the firing comes after the Flames actually won a game and won it fairly handily, 7-3 over Ottawa last night. As you mentioned, you had a bunch of games to watch, but it was like, and we kind of went no legs, skating uphill. He said, I'm talking about DJ Smith's post-game comments, no excuses, but that was our seventh game in 11 nights. If you're an Ottawa fan and you saw that performance last night, are you a little bit worried given how Matt Murray performed, how the team performed, that this is potentially back into the funky hockey that we saw early in the year on the Western trip, or would you consider this more of a one-off?
Yeah, I think it's a one-off. You could see right from the start, they had nothing going. Yeah, they got a little bit of a push after Josh Norris scored, but they didn't have much, and you could tell. So sometimes that's going to happen, more so during the COVID time. I mean, if I'm Mike Sullivan and the Pittsburgh Penguins, I'm more concerned about my team right now than the Ottawa Senators. The expectation level is a lot higher. You had a 3-0 lead against Philadelphia, and you had nothing going at all. With Ottawa, I just think I'd walk by it and say we're going to be ready for our game on Saturday against Calgary.
Our last memories, or at least mine here in Ottawa, of a guy like Murray really goes back to 2017, Pierre. He hopped in the playoffs for Fleury. The guy was lights out. Has it been the roller coaster the last couple of years in Pittsburgh? And again, a better team that can cover some of it up, but was the same inconsistency what plagued him in Pittsburgh?
Some of it, yeah, but again, not trying to make excuses. Yeah. He lost his father, and I think that was a bit of a problem for him in Pittsburgh, too. I mean, that took a toll on him, I think, because it was a long sojourn, and it was not easy for him, and I would say that was part of it, too. I know he's not trying to make excuses.
Mm-mm. That's not good.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Yep, you're back.
Yep. I didn't go anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Just on Matt Murray. There's whenever a goalie performs like he did last night, we're getting a lot of feedback this morning,
right,
Pierre, where people are kind of fed up with him. Should fans at this point be ready to turn the page on him, or is there still, I mean, we saw his best performance on Monday,
right,
and then we saw what we saw last night. Like, this is the frustration with this goalie right now, is the inconsistency in his performances.
Which I understand. I can understand how people would be really upset. I think people are well within their rights to question what's it all about. That being said, that team had nothing going last night, and the goalie had nothing going last night. The one thing, and Sean's talked about this a lot, when he's aggressive, he's good. When he's not aggressive, and he was passive last night, he was docile last night, he's not particularly good. And so they got to get him in a mindset where he's going to be aggressive, because he was just sitting way too far back. I heard Kelly Rudy actually was doing the game for Calgary last night talk about how he was sitting back on the goal line, and he was right. He was. He was sitting back. He was deep in his net, and he just didn't have it last night. But I would say give him, you know, it's a little early to be giving up on a guy.
Yeah, and he'll be 27 years old. I look at the contract. I look at the combination of he and Decor. As JR said, hey, you still hold out hope. We look at the forward group. But we did have the discussion. If you were the pro scouting staff, general manager, and everybody involved with the Ottawa Senators, would your biggest deep dive right now be sitting down and saying, hey, how can we at Shabbat at one and however you're going to sprinkle in Zub and Zaitsev and Branstrom or whatever else, how are we going to build this defense going forward to certainly match up with what looks like a very promising forward group?
Well, eventually you're going to get Jake Sanderson in there, and he's the real deal. You know, you've got Tyler Cleven eventually going to be coming in. I mean, you've got players coming in. You've got guys from Finland. You've got a lot of players.
But there's a gap, though, Pierre, from where they are now to when those players will be good NHL players.
Well,
that could be two or three seasons from now.
Well, maybe some of them are going to be better before that, but you've got to definitely...
Can't count on that, though.
No, but, internal evaluation. Sean's asking me about the scouting staff. The internal evaluations of the scouting staff matter a lot, too. I mean, the fans can't count on it, but maybe the scouts are telling the GM, don't worry, these guys are going to be ready. Maybe they're telling them they're not going to be ready. Who knows? But you're just asking me. Lassie Thompson, I think, is another one that I think they're pretty high on, too. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with their defense, but they definitely need to upgrade it. There's no question. But, again, everybody's going to be mad about that game last night. I was mad watching it just like probably everybody else. But it was one of those – lots of teams are going through this. I can tell you right now. I watched New Jersey last night get steamrolled by New York. They had nothing. I watched Buffalo get ripped apart by the Islanders. They had nothing last night. So, I mean, it's going on around the league. It's not just Ottawa has bad nights. There are a lot of teams having bad nights.
Oh, I guess on the defense, and again, we're kind of going through a depth chart. And listen, we understand. Sanderson looks like a great prospect, and we don't even know if he's going to turn pro at the end of this year. If it's not, that's 2 years from now that he would come out. And at that stage, hopefully he jumps right into the NHL, but we don't know. Jacob Bernard-Docker, I think the thought is he'll turn pro at the end of this year. But, can you count on him to play in the NHL next season? You can't count on it. You hope, but you can't count on it.
Right.
You got you really can only go probably two to and Zaitsev's a question mark, but he's signed, so I guess you got to count on him. You've only got three guys, and I guess my question is, how are they going to bridge from where they are now with a very short list of capable NHL defensemen to this down the road of maybe a couple of years? How are they going to bridge that? And then we look at a guy like Dougie Hamilton that's a UFA. And let's say he's open to, he doesn't get signed, and he's open to going anywhere. If you're Ottawa, is it a smart move to pay big dollars, long-term commitment to that, knowing you've got a lot of other young guys that if they all pan out, and I'm talking about the Stutzlas and the Tkachuks and whoever else, Bathursons of the world, that are also going to demand some big dollars. How do you play that if you're Ottawa?
That's a great question. That's not an easy one to figure out. That's where one of those things where you guys sit down, the general manager and the scouting staff, and put some truth serum in them and say, where do you think all these guys are? So there's no spin control in their answer. But in terms of Dougie Hamilton, I mean, you're going to have to pay huge money to get him, and I just don't know what his app. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that in Carolina, but I have to think there'll be a lot of teams that would be interested in him. It would depend on what his appetite would be to go, number one, to a Canadian city, and number two, go to a building program rather than a program that's already been built.
Right. Very strong museum game here in Ottawa, Pierre. We've already discussed that, so that's part of the recruitment program. Just internally, from an Ottawa perspective, over the last 10 years, it's just been really interesting. When you go through the Stones and Pajots and now this crew coming, it's been almost one forward after another. Hoffman, they've had so many good guys roll through here. But for whatever reason, and I'll use a comparison with the Boston Bruins, where it didn't seem overly flashy, is there something in the combination of a Bruce Cassidy and a Kevin Dean as far as development internally that might be missing here in Ottawa that we have not seen many young players? And isn't just this coaching staff, but just overall, Pierre, it's very strange. The last 10 years, we have not had many young players outside. Now, Shabbat and Carlson are good ones, but after that, there hasn't been much there.
No, I think there's something to look at there. I don't doubt that at all. I talked to you about Kevin Dean and what he's done with their young defenseman in Boston yesterday, and it's been phenomenal watching him. It really has been. But I don't know about what the development process has been in Ottawa in terms of with the defenseman. I got to think they're trying to develop the defenseman as much as they're trying to develop the forward.
Yeah.
But, again, I can't speak to it. I just don't see them practicing.
Yeah, and I know Jack Capuano played, albeit at college and in the American Hockey League, and you know, I'm sure a teacher. Would you look at a bit of a critique? And I know Sean Donovan does a hell of a job. They've got Jesse Winchester. Mm-hmm. If you were running an NHL team as one of your skill development coaches, just like you have a multiple goalie coaches, would you not have one of them as a former defenseman?
I always would do that with any team I was with. That's just part of the – that's what I would always think about. And I'll give you a case in point because it hit close home for Ottawa. I think Luke Richardson's done a phenomenal job in Montreal cultivating their young players and even their veteran players. I mean, Ben Chiarot's never played better. Jeff Petrie's never played better. You look at the Joel Edmondson, since coming over, has been very, very strong for them. I look at the development of Brett Kulak and what he's been able to do. Romanov, I guess is how they pronounce it. He's been tremendous. So I look at Luke and the internal development of the defenseman in Montreal. So to Sean's point, that's very, very possible. I don't know why they wouldn't want to do that.
All right. Elsewhere around the league last night, Winnipeg goes into Montreal and beats them in overtime. I think we talked the last time the Jets were in overtime, but Paul Maurice has gone to this. He's just rolling the forwards, not a D-man to see the ice. And last night, I mean, it took a while, but Dubois scored. But before that, there was a clear breakaway for Connor. Yep. There was a two-on-one that Wheeler should have finished the game on as well. I mean, they're generating all kinds of chances. And I you watch all the games. I don't pretend for a second to watch nearly as much hockey as you do. Are you seeing any other teams that are doing the three forwards in three-on-three overtime? You see it catching on at all?
No, I mean, it probably will catch on, but I haven't seen a ton of teams saying we're going three forwards. I've seen Tampa do it a couple times. You know, they won in overtime last night. Victor Hedman. No time on the clock. That was pretty good. I was sitting here. My producer, Matt Marvin from NBC, came over to my house and spent the night watching hockey with me. And he said, "I can't believe I just saw that." I'm like, "Yeah, you did." So that was pretty fun. I think Tampa is one of the teams that I've seen try to do that. But to say that it's an evolving trend in the league right now, I think would be a reach.
I'm just wondering, and we've seen 3-on-3 since it came in, that it's evolved, and the way the coaches approach it and the way they play it has certainly changed. You know, we got now all kinds of regroups, or they go out and they'll change and everything like that. I'm just wondering that defending on 3-on-3 is generally, Pierre, a man-on-man. Because of that, does it make it easier to justify going with a forward, because it's much easier as a forward to say, hey, I got that guy, you got that guy, you got that guy. Okay, we got the defensive side of the 3-on-3 covered. And so the necessity of having a defenseman as someone who thinks defense first is lessened a little bit because you're just playing man-on-man.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I know Paul Maurice talked about that post-game last night. You know, he's dealing with the media after the win, the 4-3 win. So, for sure, I think there's something to that. I personally think if you've got a player like Charlie McAvoy, or if you got a player like John Carlson, or if you got a player like Adam Fox, or if you have a player like Winnipeg has and Neil Pionk, you might want to think about having those defensemen out there, because not only can they defend, they can also attack off the rush. Drew Doughty, I mean, I can go around the league and pick guys. Victor Hedman last night, he was on the ice, you know, of course, a game-winning goal. So there are guys in different situations where it wouldn't bother you to have the defenseman or the forward, but I would say that you got to look at your lineup. That's why I think it's not going to be an evolving trend, because not every team in the league has, you know, the same roster. Everybody's roster is different.
If you go through some of the rosters, and I'll use first about Washington, but I'll certainly go to Boston. If I've got a forward crew that's played together that has cohesion, can't even imagine what Pasternak and Bergeron and Marchand would do together, that Boston would at least have to be looking at that.
Well, they do it on the power play. They go with five forwards sometimes in the power play, four forwards for sure. So, I could see that. I don't see how that would be an issue for Bruce. Bruce Cassidy is a really creative coach, and you talked about it before, the relationship he has with his coaching staff, Kevin Dean, who runs the defense, and Joe Sacco, you know, the Jay Pandolfo, that coaching staff, Bob Essensa, the goalie coach, that coaching staff is really tight. They've been together for a long time, and they really exchange a lot of ideology. They're very, very strong in terms of being creative.
Four games under Dominique Ducharme for Montreal now. They've got points in three of the four, only one win, and the power play is certainly much better, and that was part of the reason that Claude Julien got replaced, is that the special teams are not very good. But just as an overall, as you're watching them play, are you noticing, is there a noticeable difference in the Habs?
Yeah, they're trying to play faster. There's no question, and they are. They look a lot quicker. They look like they did at the beginning of the year, less, you know, about being passive resistance and more about being aggressive. So that's good. I don't know if they're defending as well in front of their own goal as they were under Claude, but again, we'll see. You got to give it time. But the power play is definitely better. There's no question. It's 4-for-8 since you know, Dominic's taken over the team. So that's the good news for them, is the power play starting to engage, which is positive. But you got to get wins. I mean, the good news for them is Calgary, more times than not, has been stumbling around. And Vancouver still got a ways to go, and they've played more games than anybody else in the division. But they're kind of in the rocking chair position. They're going to have to find a way to get some wins here with consistency, and if they don't, they're going to have people breathing right down their neck, and it's probably going to be, and especially with Darryl going into Calgary, I got to think Calgary's going to become a much more difficult team to play against.
Watched Durant play last night. Thought he played well, Pierre, and Dominic Ducharme had him in junior. One of the reasons he was added to the staff. If you were to look at one individual that could elevate and kind of bring it along, they don't have any superstars, but would you certainly look at a guy like Durant?
Well, he's the one that's going to have to get going. He's been underwhelming since he's been, you know, traded to Montreal from Tampa, because Sergachev has been outstanding down in Tampa. So far that trade has been a one-way deal. It's worked out real well for Tampa, and they also won the Stanley Cup, whereas has not worked out nearly as well for Montreal. So he's the one guy that does need to get going. And you can see he seems a lot more comfortable with Dominic Ducharme being there, and hopefully for him and for the team it's going to work out, but we'll see long-term. It can't be one and done. It's got to be stringing games together for him. He needs to be much more consistent.
Islanders 5, Sabres 2,
yep.
Shots on goal, 45-18 for the Islanders, who are not necessarily an offensive juggernaut. I mean, how much worse can it get for Buffalo, Pierre?
Oh, it's still worse. Rasmus Dahlin was terrible in that game last night. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. He was -4 in that game last night. He was terrible. Remember when I said to you, Sean, at the beginning of the year, they got to figure out what Rasmus Dahlin is going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, they haven't figured that out, and he hasn't figured it out, and he's been really underwhelming. And it pains me to say that, because he's a good kid, and he's an elite player, and I don't know what's gone on with him there, but it is really sad to see. Jeff Skinner, same thing. You know, Taylor Hall gets a goal, but... You know, there's no consistency in the attack. There's nothing there. I watched the JR, you just talked about the Islanders and not, but here's how the Islanders overwhelm you. They come at you with Barzal first, then Brock Nelson, then J.G. Pajot, then Casey Cizikas. That's their four centermen. And they play four lines, and they steamroll you. They just wear you out. So they might not be one of these super charged offensive teams, but they just wear you down. And their coach is so good. Their coaching staff is excellent, but their head coach is really good. And so I for Buffalo, can it get worse? Yeah, it probably can.
Yeah, funny we're talking about defensemen. I go back to Dahlin, and I think before that it might have been Eric Johnson. These first picks overall that are forced into the National Hockey League, in hindsight, should they have taken kind of the Cal McCarr approach and, hey,
well,
do a couple of years in Sweden versus kind of now? He looks like he's in survival mode versus thriving.
But he was good the first 2 years.
You know what? I'd like to see, and I don't know if they'd ever put this out, what was his body weight when he came into the league? And what's his body weight now? Because when he came in the league, he looked lean, mean, and he was a fighting machine. He doesn't look like that anymore. He looks, you know, bigger and slower. And that's not one of the things that he was so good at. Everybody used to say, processes a game like Nick Lidstrom, skates like Scotty Niedermayer. That's what the scouts used to say. Well, I'm not seeing either one of those things right now.
That's like his first 2 years in the league, you know, coming in as an 18-year-old, and he was over 40 points, I think, both years. They're talking about... The list was maybe two or three deep of players who, defensemen who had, you know, had that many points as teenagers in the NHL. We're talking, you know, on a historical level,
right?
Rasmus Dahlin. So to see this year is just, well, as you said, it's mind-boggling.
I don't know how much of the game you watched there, but I'm going to tell you.
Zero, Pierre.
It stood out. JR, stood out.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
too bad.
I felt terrible watching it for him.
Yep.
And he and Rasmus Ristolainen and our partners. One guy was -4 in that game, and one guy was -3. And you just, that can't be your top pairing. You just can't on a night-to-night basis. It just can't be like that.
No, and it feels like there's another shoe to drop in Buffalo. We'll wait and see on that one. You got, two games coming up this weekend?
Yeah, Sunday I've got two games.
Doubleheader?
Yeah, Johnny Forsen and I, we've got Tampa and Chicago at 2:30 on Hockey Day in America. Then we have the Rangers in Pittsburgh at 7:30. So we got a busy weekend.
Wow, no kidding. All right, what do they serve in the NBC cafeteria to fuel you up between games?
What? I will tell you, because of COVID, it is so strict. I took 3 COVID tests yesterday, so just to be able to get to work on Sunday, I'm not kidding you.
Three?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had that thing up your nose three separate times?
Yeah. One is a saliva test, yeah. And the other one is nasal, yeah.
Oh, do they always go left nostril or right nostril?
They go both.
Both.
They do both.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Brutal. Well, good on you, Pierre. Enjoy your doubleheader on Sunday. We'll be watching, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again on Monday.
JR and Sean and Maddie, thanks so much for an awesome week. You guys were great. And Maddie, thanks for finding me in all those different places. I've been really appreciated. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe. Enjoy your family and friends.
Welcome back, everybody. 841, JR, Simmer, and Hammer still to come. Before 9, we'll spin the wheel of meat. I've been exercising my left arm. I get to spin the wheel today for the first time. Simmer's going to run the contest. Okay, I'm going to spin the wheel.
Okay.
We're turning this contest on its ear. But the bottom line is somebody's walking away with a $150 gift certificate to Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar to fill your gaping maw full
of
food.
Nice cold day like today, JR. Oh. Be perfect for it. What are you going with? What are your four choices?
He doesn't know yet.
Nah, I've figured that out.
Okay.
Now, Simmer, I've got a full 10 minutes to figure that out.
Okay.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Again, already getting a little nervous myself.
If you need help, I got ideas for you.
Yeah, I know. You're the ideas man.
Not necessarily. Yeah. Simmer's come up with a lot of ideas on his own.
Yeah. We went down the road last hour of the Dougie Hamilton recruitment tour for Ottawa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the full museum pass. And somebody has also said you got to throw in a day trip to Petrie Island.
Wow.
Which is interesting, but that's got to be on a day when the river is, because Petrie Island tends, you know how everything flows downhill, the old saying, and there are some days where, you know, and water flows west to east here in Ottawa, that some days at Petrie Island, like the west end is dishing it out and the east end is taking it,
Isn't that where they go test the COVID levels in the city?
The wastewater?
Yeah.
You just go and open your mouth. I can taste some COVID.
Oh, no!
I just tasted COVID. I'm actually an expert on this area, JR, because I actually lived in Orleans as a kid, and we would not even go near the water, even when we caught eels out of there, which we'd never. Then we moved to Dunrobin, which is basically, my God, the water there is absolutely incredible. Now,
west is best.
I believe this past summer, though, we did open up the new sewage system, right? The multi-million, if not billion-dollar system. So we're not supposed to have the overflow. So maybe we can take it to Petrie Island. And if you're going there, and I don't know if Dougie likes to hit the pipe at all, but they have an excellent Jamaican jerk chicken shack there. So we can go that, you know, maybe spark one up, have a little food with Dougie, and just kind of chill.
Hi, Remon! Throw that in there as a channeling my inner Jamaican. All right. Speaking of Logan Brown, you heard the promo that we've got the BSNs game for you tonight at 7 o'clock. The Manitoba Moose are in town, the farm team of the Winnipeg Jets. The BSNs are 1-4. Manitoba is second last. They played 10 games. BSNs have played 5. They're 4-6. So just in terms of wins and losses, which, as we know, at the AHL level is not the most important thing. Development is, but maybe a competitive game. We'll see. But AJ and Brad Smith will have the call. Now, we promoted the fact that Logan Brown, of course, who had a very, we'll say, relatively quiet game on Wednesday night, we'll be back in the lineup. Neil and Westboro suggesting, guys, what about trying Logan Brown in net for the Sens? So what about a full position change for Logan Brown? If he is 6'6", goaler, put him on the skates, right? So we're talking, 6'8"? 6'9"? Now he's kind of a skinny guy.
Yeah.
So we'd have to go with the extra big equipment.
Yeah.
The big pillows, like Max equipment.
Like Matt Murray's equipment?
Yeah. Well, does it look like Matt Murray has a super big equipment to you?
Oh, my. His
set is very big.
Put it this way, as his head pops out of the top part there, it does not look like it matches what is basically. Some of the guys I see on the bench, not as much with Matt Murray, Jared, but there's odd times I'll look at the bench. I'm like, that is just so bizarre that you could be that big. So pad's not bad. I mean, he's a big guy, but the upper body to me almost looks uncomfortable at times, where it, I think, almost feels like it restricts a bit of his mobility.
That is some out of the box thinking, though.
Yes.
And credit the texter on that one, because you've seen some defensemen play a little forward, you know, Christoph Schubert, Phillips early on.
Brent Burns.
Yeah. You've seen it in baseball where pitchers go and become outfielders and.
Mm-hmm. They do.
So, Rick Ankiel.
Well, I was going to say
he lost it.
The president I was going to use, or whatever, if that's the right word, is Tim Wakefield Hammer right there, our Red Sox, right? He was a positional player, wasn't he? And then decided to throw the old knuckleball.
You know what? That's news to me. I thought it was always a knuckleball. I thought it was always a pitcher.
No. He was a positional player, and they tried it one day in spring training. Went on to play 15 years. No, he was not a pitcher.
But hey, this would be different. Mm. Going from
Logan Brown,
going
tendy.
From center.
Imagine if he becomes a real good tendy. Imagine his value on the trade market too for some of the trades that have been put out there.
Yes,
I mean you're talking probably a premier defenseman if you mix him in with a second round pick and get rid of Logan Shaw just so there's no. We got to get rid of a Brown.
Too many Logans.
No, we got to get rid of Josh Brown too, just because we've got too many Browns.
Too much. What can Brown do for you? Exactly. And I'm convinced, by the way, because they you know when TS. Does the here are the starting goalies. I'm going back to this until they change it. Until they change that headshot they've got of Matt Murray that I don't know if it was supplied by the team or not. They've like he again look good, play good, feel good,
exactly.
Play good.
Yeah.
And that photo is just like his hair's all askew and it's looked like they woke him up from sleeping for 17 straight hours.
Yeah.
Like you gotta get a better photo going.
You know what I'd even do? I would take who would you consider to be the most beautiful goaltender to ever play? Because I have one in mind. Tremendous flow.
Henrik Lundqvist.
Well, yeah, right there, but also from a Canadian perspective. Mm. Won the Hart Trophy back in the day.
Jose Theodore? Jose Theodore.
Right there. Yeah. That's what I'm going with. Just throw that.
That was Propecia aided, though.
Exactly.
That flow.
That was actually funny how the reaction from Mr. Pound, right, wasn't...
Dick.
Yeah, he wasn't believing that whole, that's a masking agent. I'm like, what goaltender is going to take anything? Goaltenders don't even work out.
At 1200, when you do Texas, by the way, standard messaging rates apply. Wrench is still coming in. Wrench to TSN personalities, doesn't specify, who keep asking or commenting on Matt Murray finding his game after two good games. Enough already. After a full season of playing well, then we will know he has found his game. That comes from inside.
He will then skedaddle.
I love it. That was the first. That was our friend from Winnipeg who laughs as he announces goals. He's always got the chuckle going. Dropped our first ever. And with all due respect to Dino, have never heard every single second of every single call.
Yeah,
but believe
the
first time in play-by-play, we heard skedaddle used.
And will I think AJ it was do it tonight?
I'd love to see it.
I'm thinking of, I'm having vision of my father, maybe his 1970s, 1980s.
Yep.
Like when you'd tell you to go out and play. Was that not the terminology that was
Absolutely.
Thrown out there? Skedaddle?
Yep.
Get out of the house. Skedaddle.
That is awesome. Just what a flashback that is. I wouldn't think you'd hear on a... I don't
know. You feel like going outside right now after I just said
it? I don't know. When it was first said on the broadcast, I'm like, I'm trying to search back. And then I'm like, my God, I think we're living in Chatham, New Brunswick, 1972.
Your mom's got the Ann Murray going?
We're being told to skedaddle.
Yeah. All right. Unsigned writes, I'm going to jump on their wrench to Pierre Dorion train for the preseason signings, but especially the Matt Murray signing. Could we not have kept Craig Anderson for one more year for stability while giving our younger goalies reps to see what we've got and then pick up a goalie during the expansion draft year? That comes from Unsigned.
If anyone's mad at me, I'm at Navin Arena tonight.
He's not at Navin Arena, so don't go to Navin Arena tonight. He's actually, I think, will be out in Calgary still.
But
you know what? And again, I'm not going to be disingenuous. When they traded for Matt Murray, I thought it was a good gamble to take at the
Me
time.
Too. Yeah.
I do not, and I'm closing the door on Matt Murray, because, well, quite frankly, they're married to him for 4 years.
Yeah,
so they've got to, as somehow, some way, as best they can, try to see if they can find the goalie we saw on Monday on a more consistent basis. You know what? For most people said at the time, I know the contract was a concern in terms of the amount of money.
Yeah.
But in terms of them trading for an established guy, I think most people said, okay, good gamble to take for a second rounder. There were a few that said, and, you know, we had to give them the right to at this point kind of go, see, I told you so. The I told you so-ers that said, you know what? In an expansion draft year, goalies become available because teams have to, you know, you can only protect one. Goalies are going to be more available this coming offseason. Because of the Seattle expansion draft that maybe Ottawa should have held off for one more year before committing big dollars and term to a goalie.
Yeah,
so, I mean, hindsight is 20/20 on that.
Yeah.
And right now, Matt Murray has not proven to be the answer so far.
Yeah, and go back, and now I was a little bit perplexed when I started hearing that he had a hard time catching the ice hockey biscuit, which when I played the position at a very low level could be an issue at times as I got burned over the glove all the time, JR. Let's go back to the offseason, though, and what you've had with Craig Anderson. And Craig had run his time and probably over in the National Hockey League overall as far as being a starting goaltender. If I am now trying to build an expansion team and I'm going to try to immerse young players and young defensemen, I'll tell you what, imagine if they had started the entire year with Hogberg and Decord. So I don't think that was necessarily an option. Now, Monday night, I think Matt Murray's unbelievable. Tuesday night, I thought Decord is great. Now, as I wake up Friday morning, Murray makes me nervous and Decord looks small in the net. So that's how I've changed my tune, JR, since earlier in the week. But I on Murray, I just, and more to the idea, okay, well, if you're saying goalie's going to be available in expansion, that's fine. Are a two-time Stanley Cup champion at 27 years old and you only gave up a second-round pick? I'm assuming, and again, I was the same. I thought, well, okay, Pittsburgh, they're saying he's struggling. I do wonder, and you don't know much about the person. Like I said, it's not even athletically. I expected a bit better, JR, but what makes me a little bit nervous, to be quite honest with you, and I really dealt with the nervous energy. It was a real tough thing, and talking to other goaltenders like Clint Malarchuk or people along the way, it's a really tough thing, and you're not all going to be Marty Brodeur where you're coming out smiling and laughing, but what would make me nervous in watching him is I'm a little surprised at this point in his career that he does look that nervous to start games. That would be my part, that a little bit of a some alarm bells are going off.
Not just on Murray and not just on guys from the Sens, but struggling players from around the National Hockey League this year. The excuse from some has been COVID year, unprecedented circumstances at which some of these guys, and listen, we're all wired differently. Yeah. Some of us are able to let stuff roll right off our back, not an issue whatsoever.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have had, not just hockey players, but just in general, major mental health crises throughout this entire thing. Totally understandable. Do you put any credence into that part of it to explain why some players in the league this year are just struggling with their game just because of not the physical effects of COVID, but just in general the way society is working right now?
Absolutely, JR. I mean, I'm affected by it myself on what's going on in the world, what's going on in our industry, what's going on economics. One day I see that and look at the Dow Jones and say, oh, I forgot to put my money in the Dow Jones. But anyways, this is part of what is going on. And this is one of the really important parts of trading for players or knowing players. There are so many things that can be affected in somebody's life. And you go back to what Pierre touched on, and I want to be very delicate, but I remember that fall when his father had passed away and he went back to Thunder Bay. He has a young family now. You become a father. It's the first time you've been traded. I mean, there's so many things going on. Even as you go through right now and trying to figure out different players on different teams, more importantly, physically, why they're not the same. I don't know how many have had COVID, but absolutely for where the world is at. And I also think, and I don't know how much for athletes, JR, but we have been inundated, and I'll go back to even, what happened in Missouri last year and Black Lives Matter, to the election, to COVID, to the whole world. We have been inundated with negativity that if you can't shut that off at times. So to circle back to your point, absolutely. Like who hasn't been? I mean, you're a lucky fella if you're able to just kind of say, hey, no big deal. Because I think this last year for the world has absolutely sucked on a lot of levels.
Let's see here. A reverse wrench to you guys for joking around about Dougie Hamilton in a way more fun way than complaining about Michael Haley. That comes from Cable. And Karen, and part of the Dougie Hamilton, we're going to have to start to write this down.
Is this a real Karen?
I don't know, but she signed it, Karen.
No, I know.
On the Dougie Hamilton recruitment.
Yeah.
This summer, of course, we got the full museum pass. We've discovered that. The one-day trip to, or maybe the 1 hour, or maybe the 1 minute trip to Petrie Island, again, depending on the water flow and what else is flowing on a given day.
Yeah.
Karen suggesting a little trip over the Nordique.
Oh,
a little spa action up there in Chelsea.
Hey, a little rub down for Dougie.
What?
Hey, no, you want to get, well, if you're
massage. Are you saying a massage?
Yeah,
please.
But, okay, massage.
Can we use the proper term?
And I want to be in the room with Dougie.
Well,
we want to get massage at the same time.
This has become troubling.
And now I'm going to be recruiting him. Anyway.
So that would be like my
so
wife.
You're going to take Dougie to the Nordique.
Well, no, okay. Listen, there's something to be said. My wife and I went there, it would have been last two summers ago. I did the couples massage.
Yeah.
Okay. Side by side tables.
Yeah.
So that's you and Dougie Hamilton, Simmer?
Yeah. And
side by side.
But it's only recruitment. I mean, so I'm nothing else going on. I just
want
to.
Like, I don't want.
That's an opportunity when he's relaxing to bring it home.
Holding hands during the couples massage when you're side by side?
No.
Listen, I'm going to speak on behalf of Dougie Hamilton. Okay. If you're laying beside me getting a massage, I don't want to be recruited. I don't want to be talked to.
I got shut your pie hole, right? It'll probably ruin the whole thing.
Get that music they always play when you get a massage going, right? That's true. Little guitar, the little flamenco guitar going on. You got the beautiful smelling oils.
Yeah.
You know, I've recommended the one time I was out and Tofino and had the Hot Rocks massage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if they offer that at the Nordique, but I would recommend a good Hot Rocks massage. I do not need any conversation.
Yeah, no,
Simmer's the one doing the rub down and having the conversation. Yeah. He's the one that's taking care of the massage.
I also want to throw a wrench to the Nordique spa because they asked Mira and I last year when we were in the pool having some loving time to kind of take it easy there.
Well, exactly. That's quiet time. And what is loving time? Yeah. Well, I don't want to know what loving time is.
Wrench?
Yeah. Yes.
Better to have tandems than it is to have threesomes.
Out of context is the best thing ever.
Now I miss the Nordique spa now that you said it.
You're not invited anymore.
No, exactly. You're going to start throwing wrenches at them. Wrench to Hammer for missing the opportunity to play the biceps, triceps hard drop when he made the blue pill comment. There you go.
We got to be triceps, biceps, arceps, hard.
There you go. Welcome to your future, Calgary. And that's what you're already getting in Ottawa. Tell you what, let's take a break. 8:57. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back and play Wheel of Meat. If you'd like to play the game, let's do it right now. We're taking texts only. So you got text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. We'll take lucky texter number. Trying to remember. Dylan Dubé had a hat trick last night. I think he wears 29.
What's Dougie wear?
Dougie Hamilton. Great question, Simmer. I don't know.
Okay.
A lot of Carolina these days.
Okay.
Let's go with 29. Okay. Texter number 29 at 12-1200. All we need is your name, first name. Only text us once, please. Your first name and your availability in about 4 minutes because we're going to call texter number 29. That person will get a shot at $150 in grub from Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar. So we'll do that coming up next hour. We're going to turn to a little NFL talk. Offseason is set to begin. Is Russell Wilson really going to get traded by the Seattle Seahawks? Honestly. And the Baltimore Ravens have come up with this very interesting idea about how to play overtime. A new rule they want to bring in. We're going to talk to Josh Alpert from ProFootballTalk.com about all the NFL stuff coming up after 9. Sens fall 7-3 to the Calgary Flames. Flames have fired their coach, so we got lots still to get to on this Friday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. You know it, you love it. Duthy always says Canada's favorite game show is the quiz. That's fine if you're just into dominating Canada.
Well, that's in passé anyway. That's yesterday's news.
Exactly. Right? We internationally dominate with the Wheel of Meat. It is the greatest contest ever before, ever known to man. In fact, did I not see Gord Wilson say yesterday, greatest contest ever, Wheel of Meat? And if Gordy endorses it, you know it's a good one.
Yeah, even the production part of it, we must be up for some. What are the awards in Canada, Jer?
We always go with ACTRA.
Okay, yeah.
We always go with the ACTRA
awards. Assuming those are coming in the mail or email pretty soon.
Absolutely. All right, lucky texter number 29 this morning. We say good morning and hello to Tom. How are you this morning, Tom?
Very good, yourself.
Excellent, thank you. All right, so Tom, we're going to switch things up a little bit. I'm going to warm myself up because I am going to be spinning the wheel.
All right.
So Simmer is going to do the let's get to know the contestant, in this case, Tom, part of the deal. Simmer, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
And Tom, be a little concerned, though, because every time I've spun the wheel, the person has won, so we're certainly changing things up here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Tom.
I own a catering company, which is obviously nothing going on right now, but I have also a deli shop, and, we're struggling away like everybody else.
Well, hope for better times. So what's your specialty?
I'm sorry?
What's your specialty?
I have a deli shop now. We do deli sandwiches.
Oh, okay, nice.
Sweet.
Nice.
All right, yeah. If I were to say to you, I go into your shop, and let's give your shop a plug, Tom. What's it called?
The Sandwich Shop.
The Sandwich. Wow. That is awesome. You got the original name, The Sandwich Shop. The Sandwich Stop. Okay, where are you located?
Long Business Park, 2285.
Okay, all right, perfect. And I've seemingly, I can't stop talking. I have jumped in. This was supposed to be Simmer. Back to you.
He obviously wasn't confident what I was doing. Do you know? This is what he does. He kind of delegates, and then he just scoops right in. Are you
familiar? Huh?
Oh, for sure. Once a boss, always a boss, eh?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the contest, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you know how the Wheel of Meat works. You know you're playing for 150 bone for that, and JR is going to present the four different choices that are on the wheel right now.
All right, Tom, thank you very much, Simmer. Really appreciate that. I have, Tom, the Wheel of Meat that's pushed into my little cubicle here this morning, and here's what I put on it. As you know, when you go to the Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar, you have four distinct places, Tom, that you can sit. You could sit at a booth. You can sit at a table. You can sit at the bar, or you can sit outside when the weather's nicer on the patio. So, Tom, booth, bar, table, or patio, where do you think the wheel is going to stop?
I think booth.
Booth is the choice. Okay, Simmer, this is the part where...
Yeah, no, I know. And, Tom, you know how it works, right? As the wheel's going, you got to cheer. Got to cheer loud and proud and just bring it around to your what you want it on, right?
Sounds good.
Okay, you ready to roll there, JR? You ready to give it a spin?
Oh, man, you know what? I'm going for a little physio on my shoulder this afternoon. I am ready to give this wheel the biggest pull in the history of wheel pulling ever.
JR is good at pulling the wheel.
Absolutely.
Are you ready to go, JR?
I am ready. Thank you very much.
You ready, Hammer?
Ready, Simmer.
You ready, Tom?
Tom?
Ready.
All right.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1. Ah!
Come on, Tom.
Come on.
Come on, finish strong, Tommy. All right, nice job.
Wow.
I think the wheel's going down the hallway, Tommy. One more.
Yeah! Oh my God! I threw out my shoulder, but that was the longest wheel spin ever. I was tremendous on that.
Well done, JR.
Thank you very much, and Tom from the sandwich stop. Well done on you, my friend. You have scored yourself $150 from the Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
All right. Thanks, good luck. Hope you get back open soon. But in the meantime, enjoy the grub from Baton Rouge, and thanks for listening.
Thanks.
All right, hang on the line for some more information. There we go. All right, okay. We'll do it again next week.
That went exactly as I expected, and I'm having flashbacks of Brian, the late great Brian Murray, hiring coaches, and then realizing he still wants to be the coach. Hey, you know, it's your responsibility. You do what you want with the team, and then about a week later, you're like, "Hey, man, I don't really like what you got going there." Hey,
do you mind if I just step in here a little bit?
I might have a players only meeting without you there. Hey, that's good.
All right, hang on. We'll stop down for the latest news. Run down the scoreboard for you. Sens fall 7-3 to the Flames. Flames have fired their coach, so we got lots to get to. We'll revisit all of that coming up in the next hour. More of your wrenches. We'll look at this day in sports history, and we'll talk some NFL with Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. We're glad you're along with us here on a Friday morning as we get set for the weekend on Sports Radio TSN 1200.